To the Interactive Church Wednesday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the readings portion of this meeting will be recorded so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. Let's begin our service with singing hymn number 195. I shall read all of the verses before we join in song, and a reminder that the link to the words of this hymn are on the Order of Service webpage. Not what I am, O Lord, but what Thou art. That alone can be my soul's true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tumult of my troubled breast. Girt for the love of God on every side, I breathe that love as heaven's own healing air. I work and pray, and follow still my guide, and fear no foe, escaping every snare. 'Tis what I know of thee, my Lord and God, that fills my soul with peace, my lips with song. Thou art my health, my joy, my staff, my rod. I lean on thee. In weakness, I am strong.
And we'll have Susan Mack lead us with this hymn.
Again, welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. The topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting is health and care. The hymns are 195, 70, and 168. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Jeremiah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Psalms. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. Matthew, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. Mark. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Is a man sick if the material senses indicate that he is in good health? No. For matter can make no conditions for man. And is he well if the senses say he is sick? Yes, he is well in science, in which health is normal and disease is abnormal. Sickness should not seem so real as health. The medical schools would learn the state of man from matter instead of from mind. They examine the lungs, tongue, and pulse to ascertain how much harmony or health matter is permitting to matter, how much pain or pleasure, action or stagnation. One form of matter is allowing another form of matter. Working out the rules of science in practice, the author has restored health in cases of both acute and chronic disease in their severest forms. Secretions have been changed. The structure has been renewed. Shortened limbs have been elongated. Ankylosed joints have been made supple. And carious bones have been restored to healthy conditions. I have restored what is called the lost substance of lungs, and healthy organizations have been established where disease was organic. Christian Science heals organic disease as surely as it heals what is called functional, for it requires only a fuller understanding of the divine principle of Christian Science to demonstrate the higher rule. One says, I take good care of my body. To do this, the pure and exalting influence of the divine mind on the body is requisite. And the Christian Scientist takes the best care of his body when he leaves it most out of his thought. And like the Apostle Paul, is willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The tobacco user eating or smoking poison for half a century sometimes tells you that the weed preserves his health. But does this make it so? Does his assertion prove the use of tobacco to be a salubrious habit and man to be the better for it? Such instances only prove the elusive physical effect of a false belief, confirming the scriptural conclusion concerning a man as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The movement cure, pinching and pounding the poor body to make it sensibly well when it ought to be insensibly so, is another medical mistake, resulting from the common notion that health depends on inert matter instead of on mind. Can matter, or what is termed matter, either feel or act without mind? We should relieve our minds from the depressing thought that we have transgressed a material law and must of necessity pay the penalty. Let us reassure ourselves with the law of love. God never punishes man for doing right, for honest labor, or for deeds of kindness, though they expose him to fatigue, cold, heat, contagion. If man seems to incur the penalty through matter, this is but a belief of mortal mind, not an enactment of wisdom. And man is only to enter his protest against this belief in order to annul it. Through this action of thought and its results upon the body, the student will prove to himself by small beginnings the grand verities of Christian Science. If exposure to a draught of air while in a state of perspiration is followed by chills, dry cough, influenza, congestive symptoms in the lungs, or hints of inflammatory rheumatism, your mind remedy is safe and sure. If you are a Christian Scientist, some such symptoms are not apt to follow exposure. But if you believe in laws of matter and their fatal effects when transgressed, you are not fit to conduct your own case or to destroy the bad effects of your belief. When the fear subsides and the conviction abides that you have broken no law, neither rheumatism, consumption, nor any other disease will ever result from exposure to the weather. In science, this is an established fact which all the evidence before the senses can never overrule. Sickness, sin, and death must at length quail before the divine rights of intelligence, and then the power of mind over the entire functions and organs of the human system will be acknowledged. The author has in too many instances healed disease through the action of truth on the minds of mortals, and the corresponding effects of truth on the body, not to know that this is so. We must not attribute more and more intelligence to matter, but less and less, if we would be wise and healthy. The divine mind, which forms the bud and blossom, will care for the human body, even as it clothes the lily. But let no mortal interfere with God's government by thrusting in the laws of erring human concepts. The higher nature of man is not governed by the lower. If it were, the order of wisdom would be reversed. Our false views of life hide eternal harmony and produce the ills of which we complain. Establish the scientific sense of health, and you relieve the oppressed organ. The inflammation, decomposition, or deposit will abate, and the disabled organ will resume its healthy functions. Health is not a condition of matter, but of mind. Nor can the material senses bear reliable testimony on the subject of health. The science of mind healing shows it to be impossible for aught but mind to testify truly or to exhibit the real status of man. Therefore, the divine principle of science, reversing the testimony of the physical senses, reveals man as harmoniously existent in truth, which is the only basis of health. And thus science denies all disease, heals the sick, overthrows false evidence, and refutes materialistic logic. Any conclusion, pro or con, deduced from supposed sensation in matter, or from matter's supposed consciousness of health or disease, instead of reversing the testimony of the physical senses, confirms that testimony as legitimate, and so leads to disease. Mind's government of the body must supersede the so-called laws of matter. Obedience to material law prevents full obedience to spiritual law, the law which overcomes material conditions and puts matter under the feet of mind. Mortals entreat the divine mind to heal the sick, and forthwith shut out the aid of mind by using material means, thus working against themselves and their prayers, and denying man's God-given ability to demonstrate mind's sacred power. Pleas for drugs and laws of health come from some sad incident, or else from ignorance of Christian Science and its transcendent power. I knew a person who, when quite a child, adopted the Graham system to cure dyspepsia. He passed many weary years in hunger and weakness, almost in starvation, and finally made up his mind to die, having exhausted the skill of the doctors, who kindly informed him that death was indeed his only alternative. At this point, Christian Science saved him, and he is now in perfect health, without a vestige of the old complaint. He learned that suffering and disease were the self-imposed beliefs of mortals and not the facts of being. That God never decreed disease, never ordained a law that fasting should be a means of health. Obedience to the so-called physical laws of health has not checked sickness. Diseases have multiplied since man-made material theories took the place of spiritual truth. You say that indigestion, fatigue, sleeplessness cause distressed stomachs and aching heads. Then you consult your brain in order to remember what has hurt you, when your remedy lies in forgetting the whole thing. For matter has no sensation of its own, and the human mind is all that can produce pain. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mind is all that feels, acts, or impedes action. Ignorant of this, or shrinking from its implied responsibility, the healing effort is made on the wrong side, and thus the conscious control over the body is lost. The erring human mind is inharmonious in itself. From it arises the inharmonious body. To ignore God as of little use in sickness is a mistake. Instead of thrusting him aside in times of bodily trouble and waiting for the hour of strength in which to acknowledge him, we should learn that he can do all things for us, in sickness as in health. Failing to recover health through adherence to physiology and hygiene, the despairing invalid often drops them, and in his extremity, and only as a last resort, turns to God. The invalid's faith in the divine mind is less than in drugs, air, and exercise, or he would have resorted to mind first. The balance of power is conceded to be with matter by most of the medical systems. But when mind at last asserts its mastery over sin, disease, and death, then is man found to be harmonious and immortal. Should we implore a corporeal God to heal the sick out of his personal volition? Or should we understand the infinite divine principle which heals? If we rise no higher than blind faith, the science of healing is not attained, and soul existence, in the place of sense existence, is not comprehended. We apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. Our proportionate admission of the claims of good or of evil determines the harmony of our existence, our health, our longevity, and our Christianity. We cannot serve two masters, nor perceive divine science with the material senses. Drugs and hygiene cannot successfully usurp the place and power of the divine source of all health and perfection. If God made man both good and evil, man must remain thus. What can improve God's work? Again, an error in the premise must appear in the conclusion. To have one God and avail yourself of the power of spirit, you must love God supremely. We cannot obey both physiology and spirit, for one absolutely destroys the other, and one or the other must be supreme in the affections. It is impossible to work from two standpoints. If we attempt it, we shall presently hold to the one and despise the other. Mortals obtain the harmony of health only as they forsake discord. Acknowledge the supremacy of divine mind and abandon their material beliefs. Eradicate the image of disease from the perturbed thought before it has taken tangible shape in conscious thought, alias the body, and you prevent the development of disease. The scientific fact that man and the universe are evolved from spirit and so are spiritual is as fixed in divine science as is the proof that mortals gain the sense of health only as they lose the sense of sin and disease. The elements and functions of the physical body and of the physical world will change as mortal mind changes its beliefs. What is now considered the best condition for organic and functional health in the human body may no longer be found indispensable to health. Moral conditions will be found always harmonious and health-giving. Neither organic inaction nor overaction is beyond God's control, and man will be found normal and natural to changed mortal thought, and therefore more harmonious in his manifestations than he was in the prior states which human belief created and sanctioned. As human thought changes from one stage of another of conscious pain and painlessness, sorrow and joy, from fear to hope, and from faith to understanding, the visible manifestation will at last be man governed by soul, not by material sense. Reflecting God's government, man is self-governed. When subordinate to the divine spirit, man cannot be controlled by sin or death, thus proving our material theories about laws of health to be valueless. When there are fewer prescriptions and less thought is given to sanitary subjects, there will be better constitutions and less disease. Having faith in the divine principle of health and spiritually understanding God sustains man under all circumstances. This concludes the readings. Let's unite in silent prayer, followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.